Conrad's back from the frying pan of 90 degree humidity into the fryer of German politics. Luckily, Megan's here to untangle the hypocrisy and moral muddles that the country has been mired in while Conrad's been away. Also, ex-watchman Hans-Georg Maaßen gets watched, and what's with Germany's new enthusiasm for strikes? Prost!
In Berlin's heart, when news is unveiled, Megan and Conrad with German tales. The German news, it's tough to bear, but with MegaCans, they're ready to help. Conrad, daily news at hand. Megan feels to spare time to crack those cans. With each sip she takes, the Meg is her shield. But will it last the news? Cause that was the deal.
Everybody, it's finally time for a new episode of Megan's MegaCan. I'm Megan. I'm here in Berlin with Ex-Berliner Magazine. And Conrad Werner, who's back.
Hello.
Hello, Conrad.
Hello. Good to be back. So glad I'm in a cold place again.
You've been in Sri Lanka.
Yeah, it's too hot.
That's your whole review. Too hot, didn't like it.
It was too... Well, I did like it. No, it was lovely, obviously, and very beautiful country. Mm. But it was very humid. And I do not cope very well with... Maybe I'm getting old. I don't know. Something. I was not coping very well with the heat.
Okay.
I needed 48 hours to get to deal with that. I had to just lie in an air-conditioned room for 48 hours.
Okay.
And then I could get up and function. It wasn't even that hot. It wasn't 35. It was only 30, but it was
humidity.
Humidity's
tough, though, I think.
It like hangs on you.
Yeah, it's oppressive.
Yeah, it was very oppressive. But yeah, amazing country, full of crazy animals. And, well, the animals aren't crazy, they're just animals. But full of interesting
just,
animals.
He's like,
well,
animals running around being like, I've got an idea for a podcast.
Yeah.
Let me talk to you.
No, there's like all these animals that you don't expect, you know. I had a little gecko in my room.
Oh yeah, gecko in the room's always
so
good.
Cute.
I mean, that's how you know you're really abroad.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you do.
So you are apparently not up to what I was suggesting now before we started recording, which was just changing the entire format of the podcast and not talking about German politics. So here we go. So
here
let's
we go.
Have some booze. I haven't had a MegaCan for literally ages. So I got Lynchburg lemonades because...
Thank you very much.
You are very, very welcome. It's
so
delightful
glad.
To have you back. I really missed you.
I'm so glad to be back too.
Yeah.
Cheers.
And I hope we still have... Cheers. I hope we still have some listeners if you've stuck with us.
Hmm.
Thanks, pals.
Yeah, I'm very sorry
Happy
to...
New Year.
We had to fob you off with a repeat a couple of weeks ago. But,
did. But hopefully that was also enjoyable.
But we have a new patron.
Ooh.
Patron on Patreon, I should mention. So hang on, I have to find his name.
This is good. I'll just... We haven't even tasted...
Jason.
Jason, thank you so much, Jason.
Should have prepared that a bit better. Thanks very much, Jason.
Yeah.
And if you would like to pay for this... Obviously, you don't have to.
No.
Because there's obviously a lot of many other things that you could spend your money on.
Absolutely.
But you can also spend money on this and keep us going.
Yeah.
Keep us in MegaCans.
Keep us in MegaCans. These ones cost a fiver now in the Spatie. It's gone wild.
Hmm.
Anyway, thank you very much, patrons. And if you are a patron already, thank you very, very, very much.
Yes. Right.
Right. Here we go.
Enough of that.
So
we've missed a few things. Has anything been going on?
We haven't missed
since
it because I've been
away.
Here. You abandoned me and I had to start getting my own news. And also the news just starts happening, doesn't it? It's like you can't get away from it.
Hmm. So,
and then you weren't there to explain it to me.
Where do you get your news from?
This is what happens when you leave me. I've got an abo now. Subscription to the Tagesspiegel. Don't enjoy that. Don't like it. I've been reading loads of German news. It's been awful. Full.
Oh, yeah.
Don't ever go away again.
Okay.
You don't like it anyway. You said it was too hot. There.
There.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Well, you can cancel your subscription forthwith. Hopefully you didn't pay for a year in advance.
No, I've done 33 days, okay. So I'll inevitably
anyway.
End
so the big news,
I've
guess,
signed up for.
that happened while we were while I was away was this thing with the Nazi meeting, wasn't it? Did you followed that? I assume
I did. Yes, and everyone. I mean, I'm sure most of our listeners, if you're living in Germany, are aware. Basically, the AfD or extreme members within the AfD or like extremists, as our lovely friend Izzy Joxie has said, because you can't then say extreme members of the AfD because they're all fucking extremists.
Yeah.
So they got like infiltrated by journalists or something. I don't know what happened, but like this story came out that they had met.
Yeah, basically in a hotel in Potsdam.
Yeah.
And there was a kind of a conference of the far right people, including some members of the AfD, at which a master plan for forcible remigration was discussed for people of foreign extraction in Germany.
Yeah.
Including German citizens of foreign extraction was also like one of the groups mentioned. And the person who made this speech, the key speech in which this was brought up, was a 35-year-old Austrian called Martin Zellner. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he's Austrian becomes important for this week's news. So Martin Zellner is quite famous, was already quite famous in the, if you knew about far-right people. He's the head of the Identitarian movement in Austria.
Those are bad lads, aren't they? It's this kind of new right where we've got a whole new vocabulary about it, and like we're not.
Yeah, and they're mainly young people. And he became notorious in 2018 and 2019 because it emerged that he had had direct contact with Brendan Tarrant, who was the mass murderer, the terrorist who killed 51 people in Christchurch, New Zealand. You remember that?
Jesus.
So he became notorious in that time because it emerged that this guy, this Tarrant, this had contacted Martin Zellner and donated to the Identitarians, and they'd like, you know, swapped emails and praised each other's stuff, and then a few months later, he killed 51 Muslims in a mosque, and it was horrible, and he's now in prison. And Martin Zellner at first denied it and then sort of played down it and said, I don't really know what was going on. But his, you know, computer was seized and he was banned from entering the UK and the US because he wanted to go to the US because
so much worse than I thought because I didn't read any details. Now you're giving me all the details because you're good at your job. Oh, God, Conrad, make it stop.
So then he does this speech about remigration. In last November,
This is November. This is all new.
So this all came out in January, but it happened. The meeting happened in November, and it was infiltrated, as you said, by journalists from the Corrective Network, which is an investigative network who are really good. They do really lots of really good investigations, and they kind of described what was happening and made videos and talked about what was happening, and that has triggered this whole. And I think that is. Seems to have caused, like, galvanized German society. I mean, it seems to have, like, been had a. Well, there's been a lot of protests.
Anyway, sorry, is that the rest of this?
No. So what happened was,
you do that, and then I will give you my vibes-based, completely anecdotal and subjective response. This is the show.
Okay.
After all.
So on last week, Martina Renner of the Left Party asked the German government whether Martin Zellner would be banned from German soil, whether there was an investigation to see whether there was grounds to ban him from German soil because of this speech that he gave. And the Interior Ministry confirmed that yes, there was such an investigation. And that caused a little flurry of interest. Okay. And Martin Zellner decided to make capital of this, you know, and he started to taunt the Interior Ministry and Olaf Scholz, and he made a video on Monday where he crossed the border into Bavaria from Austria and said, I'm just going for a coffee and no one can stop me. And then, of course, the police questioned him but let him pass because there was no order not to let him pass and there was no threat. no immediate threat to the keeping the peace, and then it kind of petered out on Monday. But there was this whole debate about whether or not he should be allowed into Germany again. According to Martina Renner from the Left Party, she said that she's the anti-fascism spokesman for the Left Party. She said that
surely they're all anti-fascist spokespeople.
Oh yeah,
in the Die Linke. But good for Martina. She's yeah. officially.
She comes up again later, actually, with the other story too.
Oh, she'll have had a fucking busy couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Jesus fucking Christ! Buy a mega can, Martina, if you're about. You must be.
Yeah, she's
on
exhausted.
Your knees.
She's on her knees. So she thinks that Germany should now ban him from the country, but it's more difficult than that because he's an EU citizen. And also, it has to, if he's banned from one country, it's just complicated when it's an EU citizen. Unlike if it was an American or a Russian or something, which has happened before, Russian extremists have been banned from the EU. But anyway, so it was a bit of he made it into this big social media thing and all these right wing knob. And he is awful. I mean, he's just a smirking, sneering scumbag, basically. Yeah. And anyway, so that's what happened on Monday. And he came into the country and then left again. And then there was I wrote a thing about under what cases extremists can be banned from Germany. And that happened before, but it usually has to be when there's a specific thing that they said that they were going to do in Germany or they've done social media where, because there has to be grounds where they say that they're going to disturb the peace in some way, or they're going to disturb social what do you say community, because there was a case in 2020 when a Danish-Swedish far-right extremist who was burning Korans, he'd burned a Koran in Copenhagen, and he wanted to come to Neukölln and do a demo, and probably he would have burnt a Koran, and then there would have been a riot, or he would have tried to start a riot, and so he was stopped at the airport and sent back. So that does happen, but it didn't happen in the case of Martin Zellner, because it wasn't a clear threat, I think, at that moment. Because he was just doing it for social media stuff.
Yeah, and I think.
But he's bad. I mean, this is a guy who kind of, had direct contact with a terrorist. So.
Yeah, but.
And now he's had direct contact with the AfD.
Yeah.
And there have been demos. And from a long way away from Sri Lanka, it looked like a positive development.
Yeah, look, there have been massive demos everywhere, and quite sort of spontaneous ones. There's a big planned one on, we're recording this on Friday the 2nd. There's a big one on, I think, tomorrow.
Yeah, at Brandenburg Gate, yeah.
Yeah, which has got all of the different groups. Everyone is just coming out to protest this. And
specifically, a lot of people are calling for the AfD to be banned.
Yes.
Because of that meeting.
And look, I'm very glad that it's happening. I think it's good that it's happening rather than it's not happening. I think I've rarely felt so uncomfortable and odd. And this, I think, is the worst time that I've felt about German politics in a very, maybe ever. I was talking with other people about this, and I was at the big demo 2 weeks ago at the Brandenburg Gate with hundreds of thousands of other people. It was huge. And we ended up just feeling kind of weird because all of this, to my mind, is happening on the backdrop of us watching another plausible, to use the International Court of Justice's terms, genocide in Gaza, which Germany is, I don't want to say okay with, but that whole thing I can't get out of my head. I don't know how to take this. And the demo was fine. I'd been to a Palestinian solidarity one, a really small one, the week before, and it was a very different vibe. I just worry that this is a performative middle class white German outrage about the AfD, who are a clear enemy. And was all this chanting like, Ganz Berlin hates the AfD, all of Berlin hates the AfD. I'm like, first of all, that's not true. Everyone's talking about this meeting, this secret meeting with the AfD and these Nazis at this villa in Potsdam, basically on a lake, and referencing the Wannsee Conference, which happened in 42, which was where they basically did the logistics, the master plan of the final solution of how they were going to murder the Jews of Europe. And coincidentally, I happened to be there on a trip on Wednesday. And it's absolutely super important that places like this exist. It is so key and critical. And I think they did a really good job of showing these are just kind of like normal people. These are not, you know, crazy, pathological, whatever. They have the pictures there. Everyone just looks like an accountant. You know, so and so of them had doctorate degrees, like all of this stuff, which is really good. And but there's really difficult questions that Germany has to ask itself now. And these are not questions like, do we ban the AfD? It's too late. I read somewhere, you know, constitution, how do we change the constitution to protect us against the far right? That was the point. The AfD came in 2013. We didn't react then. We haven't learned to ask those super difficult questions because we're too busy being self-satisfied and chanting Berlin has the AfD, look at us all together, and oh, don't criticize Israel because that's anti-Semitism. That's the lesson from the Holocaust.
Yeah, there's a lack of self-reflection is what you're saying.
And I understand that it's really difficult.
It's always easy to blame other people. It's easy to find an enemy elsewhere.
What really worries me is that people apparently that were showing solidarity with Palestine but apparently people were made to feel very unwelcome. It was overwhelmingly, as far as I could see, a very white I don't know. And then there's this kind of thing of demonizing people of color predominantly within this country, our actual citizens. We're all up in arms, right, about, oh, how dare they say they're going to remigrate people? That's awful. Not in our country, not in our name. But we're totally comfortable with this othering of people who show support for Palestine. And, oh, you know, the narratives in the German media are like, well, it's also all of these Arab nations that support whatever and this aggression and that. And just an unwillingness for decades to look at what has been happening in that part of the world with the sanction of the West. And we can't afford to other anybody or say, oh, but they have different views than us. That whole community sees things in a different way and you can't really talk about it because it's too, I don't know, we're not doing the work and we haven't done any of the work. I know, yeah. I'm not the only person saying this, that the Erinnerungs, the memory culture about the Second World War is trash, basically. And that's not to say that it's not well-meaning. It's just not working. Because if it had worked,
there wouldn't be an AfD.
Thank you. There we go. The proof is in the pudding, everybody.
Who are still on 20% in the opinion polls.
And whose they're polling higher, apparently, since this whole came out. So is the Green Party, apparently, or whatever, but
I don't know if that's... I think they lost a couple of points.
Oh, really? Because
I think a new poll came out today.
Okay, good. I'm going on last week, so that's good. They've lost some points. So they've really pushed it too far now, have they? Or
I just think they've become slightly less popular. So a month ago, they were on 23%, and now they're on about 19%.
Okay, yeah. But I don't know. I feel like I'm losing my mind. I feel like I'm being gaslit. Like, have a conversation that is nuanced. And I can also, this is the other thing, like, I don't want to like completely say, like, I was so outraged when this happened, and speaking to Germans, I was like, what is the narrative about the Middle East in this country? And I do understand where that comes from, and that deep trauma and guilt and everything makes it difficult to deal with this, but you can't then just... This is dangerous times, I think. This is dangerous shit. One in five people wants a party that has been linked to this I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it is bad. I mean, I think there was a poll after the last election where they said the supporters of the AfD recognised that the AfD was a far right party but didn't care.
Yeah.
And
I think also this hand-wringing and surprise which happens, and we're like, but guys, you know this. You know this. You know exactly how this plays out. How deluded are we? And I think Germany, there's so much trauma. It's awful going to these things like the Wannsee Conference House, and you should feel bad, and you do, but I feel like people then think if all of this was for nothing, and I feel so bad and so guilty, and we're still doing this again. I don't know, but we have to somehow get around this and being really weird about people showing solidarity to Palestine within Germany is not the way to do it.
Hmm.
Be different about it. Be even just open to learning. I don't know. Anyway, wow. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
How's your man cram?
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Exactly what I needed.
It is sort of slightly taking the edge off. What else?
Well, you were talking about membership.
Yes.
Well, I have some membership figures. Ooh. That might cheer you up.
Good. Is this the everyone? This is the sort of comief, by which I mean not comedy, but slight relief slight in the middle of the podcast.
Yeah. So right. New figures came out this week that trade union membership has gone up. This last year, for the first time in about 20 years.
Ooh, go unions. I'm a big fan of the unions.
Yeah. Are you a member of a union?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not. Probably should be, but could be.
Be a fan of, like, get into a union. I always say to teachers, you have to be in a union. Don't stand in front of a class unless you're in a union.
Good.
Also, I lose my keys to school every fucking day, and they will cover it.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
What, do they pay for it?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Because obviously the whole locks in the school would have to be changed and everyone issued a new key.
Okay, I see.
So yeah, join the union. So what's going on with the unions? Why is this a thing?
Well, you might have noticed in the last couple of weeks there's been quite a lot of industrial action in Germany.
I walked quite a lot this morning.
Yeah.
I walked from Schlesisches Tor to Treptower Park, got on the S-Bahn. It was very calm. I think a lot of people stayed home maybe.
Right.
And then I walked from, well, I often walk from Pankow to my school anyway, so it was actually quite pleasant, but yeah. Yeah,
so I can give you some figures.
Yeah.
The Verdi, this Germany's second biggest union, mm-hmm. which covers a lot of the service industries, covers a range of service industries. It was only founded 22 years ago. It's quite new, but it represents 1.9 million people.
Good Lord.
And they made a net gain last year of 40,000 new members.
Woo!
Going up to, yeah, so they're at like 1.9 million. They lost 150,000 but gained 190,000. So that's a net gain of 40,000. And this is like reversing a trend that has been going since the mid-90s. So the Verdi is part of an umbrella organization called the DGB, the German Trade Union Confederation, which represents over 5 million workers altogether, because it's eight big unions all stuck together.
Mm-hmm.
And they had something like over 9 million members in the mid-90s, and now they're only at 5.6 million members.
Oh, so they lost people quite thinking a lot. They're too cool for the unions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but last year was the first year in many years, and Verdi said it was its most successful year since it was founded, that union membership has actually gone up. And I asked some experts, i.e. union leaders and researchers, why this might be. Why do you think it might be? why did union membership go up last year?
Probably because inflation took off and then people's wages didn't. And they were like, this sucks. What do I do about it? And they were like, oh, I joined the union.
Yeah, that is exactly right.
Yep.
There's been more economic pressures, especially after the coronavirus pandemic. And a lot of people thought that the unions did very well during the coronavirus pandemic in making sure that people didn't just lose their jobs. There were a lot of people were put on short-time contracts and only had to work part-time because of the pandemic. But they didn't lose their jobs, which was key. And a lot of people credited the unions for negotiating that in Germany. And so that was considered a good thing. And the same with the war in Ukraine, the effects of the war in Ukraine, which, you know, drove up fuel prices and food prices. And a lot of people went, joined the unions during that time and after that time in the last year, because they saw the unions as helping them and negotiate a better deal from the government and also from employers. So that is what has kind of happened, and it's quite a good thing. And obviously strikes are really annoying, but then they're meant to be. That's the whole point. The also air traffic controllers also going on strike this weekend.
Oh, I saw that as well.
Do you want to go into the into some German vocabulary?
Yes, absolutely. This is an educational podcast. It can't just be me screaming about my thoughts all the time. So I can sort of say, because obviously I'm in a union and I work in, well, I work in a private school, so it's a bit complicated, but I work at the behest of the government, essentially. And I remember during the coronavirus pandemic, where obviously our jobs were nice and safe and secure. We were very happy about that. But it was all this in, out, vaccine, no vaccine, what's happening? And I just kept being like, let's fucking strike these working conditions. You can't just tell us on a Friday evening what we're doing on Monday. And my colleagues had to tell me, my German colleagues had to be like, and you can't strike. I was like, what do you mean we can't strike? We're in a union. Fucking let's go. And they were like, but it's not about pay. And I was like, excuse me? And that turns out, from my understanding, that in Germany, you are only legally allowed to strike when it's about pay. But you're going to tell me some sexy vocabulary to make my understanding deeper.
Tarifbindung.
Whoa.
Or collective bargaining, I think it's the correct translation, although it's complicated. Yeah, so I guess what happens is that I'm not an expert, obviously. I'm not an expert in anything. I'm a journalist, so I don't know. I mean, I just know what I've read. But so what I understand is that certain sectors are bound by certain pay structures.
Yeah.
And these are negotiated.
Tables.
Yeah. And these are negotiated periodically every few years. And set down in an agreement, a labor agreement, collective bargaining agreement. And it is only once this has expired or it is unilaterally cancelled by one or other side, can you strike legally. Yeah. And also, apparently in Germany, general strikes are not allowed at all.
What is a general strike?
It's when everyone goes on strike at the same time.
Oh.
That all the different sectors can go on strike at the same time, which
apparently
that can't happen in Germany. I don't know why, but I don't know. Can happen in other countries.
It's the same reason I think that we don't get a day off if the bank holiday falls on the weekend. This is all just economy.
Is it the same reason? Yeah.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Capitalism, innit?
Hmm.
But not even capitalism. It's not America. They're not constantly on the sell. They don't really care if you buy things. I don't know.
Yeah, anyway.
But they do love working. Getting you in, getting you working.
So
I thought this was insane.
That you can't just go and decide to go on strike.
I wonder also, though, like, yes, we have curtailed striking rights, but we do also have very, very good employment law. Workers' rights are nuts in this country compared to, for instance, America. So maybe it's not as...
And that's because of the unions. That's because the unions are quite strong.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of members and people are engaged. And apparently...
Get fucking everyone to the unions. You're listening to this. If you can, join a fucking union. Why would you not be in a union?
And And apparently... So a lot of people think, the unions only call strikes because it's a good time for them to get new members. You know, it's a way of making advertising. You not heard this?
People are fucking dumb. Sometimes... People say teachers do, you're just in it for the holidays. I'm like, you do my job for 4 days and you will see that I need little rest. The pay's not that great.
So apparently it's the other way around. Apparently the union members are often trying to force the unions to do more, to do more strikes, and that it's actually the pressure is more from the bottom up than from the top down in unions. That's what I understood. Anyway, so they have to do this. So they have and there's a process with this collective bargaining thing. So you can't just, even if the agreement is expires, right, and doesn't exist anymore, you can't just all go on strike at the same the next day. There has to be a warning strike first.
This is Germany.
And then there have to be negotiations. And it's only if the negotiations are not resolved, can you actually go on a proper strike. And then only if enough people in the union vote for it.
Mm.
So it's kind of a complicated procedure that takes a few months. And so that's what is happening now within a lot of different sectors. I think the public transport was affected today with a warning strike, but this weekend the air traffic control.
We've had a lot of strikes this week on the.
And last week it was the big trains.
It was S-Bahn and Bahn on Wednesday.
Hmm.
Tuesday?
It was 6 days.
It was
in
six
a row.
Days, wasn't
it? Was the longest ever. The longest ever train strike in Germany.
Fucking hell. Yeah, because we talked about the doctors one as well, weren't they? Striking?
Yeah, the doctors also went on strike over Christmas. Yes. So, industrial action.
Yeah. I say give people money. You'll always be able to find the money somewhere.
Well, apparently that is another factor in this, is that there's a huge shortage of workers in all sectors at the moment in Germany. Apparently 1.8 million jobs can't be filled.
Good time for striking.
And
good
that means,
time for industrial action. Who are you going to replace me with? No one?
I don't even... Yeah, that's all I was going to say. That's exactly what's happened.
Yeah.
There's a lot of more self-confidence amongst the workers.
Part of the workers. I'm all for it. Join a union.
Good.
I need to actually go get more union members. It is quite expensive to be in the teaching union, but it's fine. They do little evenings and stuff. They give you some snacks.
You get free snacks.
Sometimes, yeah. The teaching union are always doing stuff, but I'm like, oh.
Is there a Stammtisch?
Yeah.
Do you go to it?
All different things.
Right.
No, obviously I don't, because I have to speak German to people. No, but I'm happy they're there. I think there's a move within the teachers union, I know, to be like a bit more like radical and push for like striking. Because apparently you can sort of do, I don't know if they just do an illegal strike or something, and or like quasi whatever. Like you can go rogue, apparently there is.
Mm.
And they're sort of looking at that, like the junge GEW. The GEW is the teaching one.
Right.
It's all very exciting. They seem quite like feisty. Well.
And also, these membership figures showed that a lot more young people are joining. So about half of the new members are like under 28 or something.
That's great.
Wow, so that was obviously a good sign.
Surely you should join a union. There must be a journalist's one.
Oh, yeah, there is, yeah. Right, but it's really expensive. I just can't be asked because it's expensive.
Go on.
There is one.
I'm really enjoying this can.
Yeah.
I never want it to end.
Sometimes they don't have to.
Right.
Do we want to talk about more news?
Yeah, we're going to have to, I think.
Well, we could wrap this up quickly, because we have to talk about Hans-Georg Maaßen, our old bête noir on this show. The former head of the Verfassungsschutz, the German Domestic Intelligence Agency, the Office for the Protection of the Constitution. He was head of it for 6 years, and now... This week, it emerged that he is the object of observation by the Constitutional Protection Office because he's a bit too right-wing. So he's head of this organization called the Werteunion.
Oh, please.
Do you know about them?
Yeah. So they were a group within the CDU.
Yeah.
And then they've kind of left. I don't know when they left. He had to leave... Oh, he's left of his own volition now.
Yeah, he posted tweeted a picture of his CDU membership card torn up.
Oh, fucking. Do you know what else he tweeted? He tweeted a letter from the Verfassungsschutz saying, oh, you're now on our radar, basically.
Yeah.
And he tweets it being like, look at this. This is a misuse of state apparatus for political gains and
you
stuff.
Should know about that.
Dude! Dude, so he was 6 years and then he had to leave because he was advising...
Oh, he left in under the cloud of a massive scandal in 2018 when we... it was around the time that we started this podcast, yeah. In fact.
I was just getting to know people then. I can't.
Chemnitz, it was about the Chemnitz stuff.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, he didn't... He doubted what was actually happening in Chemnitz, which is basically this pogrom of...
Yeah, of foreigners.
Yeah.
And he kind of cast a doubt on it and it all came out and he was forced out of office by the interior minister, who was his boss. And he didn't want to leave. And now he's kind of left the CDU and he keeps saying weird right-wing stuff, like really conspiracy theory stuff.
Oh, yeah. I heard some of the things that he'd been writing about, like, oh, the white race is not a minority.
Yeah, he's awful. And they, you know, the Werte Union wants to start their own political party now.
Yeah, that sounds to me like Werte, like the values union. But this is exactly comes back to my point before, right? So we've got this wonderful democracy, constitution. Germany is really, we've dealt with our past. Look at our monuments. Look at our curricula. Look at all of the things that we do. And then it turns out that the guy supposedly keeping a fucking handle on all of this is actually basically a far-right nut job. And no one has noticed for his entire political career. Or they have, and they're just going to relativize it because we didn't actually do the fucking work, did we, Germany? No. I'm so sorry. You have to go back and do it again.
You didn't do your homework. I totally agree.
And it must be so awful if you are a person of colour or a Jewish person or anyone in Germany who feel, because you just, no one's got your, they can go on protests and wave signs around all they want, but like, and no one seems to, it just happens and no one really comments on it. It's like, oh, well, I don't really get it. Like, why do we love just having those fascists cutting about? They've been around for ages. They never went.
And he's got little glasses like the baddie in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
He could not look. He's wearing a Nazi costume. And we're like, well, he literally looks like SS officer number two of like, so it's unbelievable. And obviously we don't judge people on how they look, but he's doing that with the glasses.
He's saying, I am a Nazi.
This is I am a Nazi. And he's literally writing it on blogs. I am a Nazi. And we're all like, And this is the other thing. We do all this reading stuff in the... Not in the Tagesspiegel. I think it was maybe another one. Süddeutsche. I don't know. Some big broadsheet, right? And they just... Oh, the rise of the FD. And then interviewing somebody who worked on some case. And they're like... Well, how is democracy really defined in this country? I'm like, no! No time! No fucking time! Because we've got the AfD on 20%. We've got the CDU in power who are trying to appeal to, we're hard on this and tough on that. We've got fences being built in Görlitzer Park. We've got letters being sent to schools telling them to call the police if brown kids wear a certain type of scarf. No time for debating what democracy can really be defined as. We have to be not German and we have to move faster. Thank God the megas are 10% though, because that's the only fucking thing that's going to get us through.
Good.
Are you excited to be back?
I couldn't be happier.
Oh, God in heaven.
So, thanks very much for tuning in, everyone.
I don't even feel drunk. I think this is just my personality now. I'm just constantly...
You're in the zone. More, you're in the zone.
Even more... Yeah, I don't know. But I do feel this sense of, you know, we are the frogs and the water is being turned up. Mm. We gotta, you know...
Yeah, I feel that too.
Anyway... It's really still, nice to be back with you all, everybody.
It's good about the unions, isn't it?
Yeah, that's Werte Union, bad. Unions in general, trade unions, good. Go join a union. Have fun. Make it your New Year's resolution for 2024.
That would be great.
Cool. Yeah.
And on
that note,
I think we should just sort of end it.
Yeah.
And
please take care of yourselves, everybody.
Take care of yourselves and enjoy the weekend.
Yeah. If you're on school holidays, enjoy them. I'm going to read lots of books. Oh, the Berlinale is coming up. Keep an eye on that. They refuse to tell you what the program is until it's too late to book any school groups. But...
My film is on it, not in the Berlinale, but in a weird little mini festival.
Oh, go to that instead. Don't go to the Berlinale.
The Berlinale. Yeah.
Ooh, where can people see it?
At the Babylon Mitte.
Huh?
On February the 17th at 10 p.m.
It's That's a mini, very cool.
Mini independent. It's called the Berlin Independent Film Festival.
Very nice.
Yeah. So it'll be on there.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
I love you. Bye.
Cheerio.
It's quite a positive message to give to people.
So.
I like to think that we have quite a positive impact on our listeners.
I hope so.
Because we try and get them to defy the fear of listening to the news all day.
I mean, it's better than reading a German newspaper, surely.
I would definitely recommend listening to our podcast more than reading any German newspaper.
German newspapers barely have pictures. It's just a brick of text.
Oh, yes. And they seem to make a virtue of it. They think it's like so great to have no text.
Not like you Americans with your fucking...
colour pictures.
Decadent pictures in your newspapers.
Yeah,
What's that, a crossword puzzle? Oh, no wonder you had Trump. Jesus Christ, everyone. Like, there's a middle ground.
You have to concentrate on the news. It's very important. You have to, like, keep it there.
Have a mega.
Give us a picture every now and then.
Just a wee picture, maybe a, you know,
yeah,
a diagram.